Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thank you for joining us live here on Real Liberty Media. I really appreciate it. Or if you're listening to the podcast, thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast. I appreciate that too. Man, it seems like it's been forever since I've been on, but here we go. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media. It'll be over before you know it. And I don't turn left, if you know what I mean. I'm just a guy having fun, making light of the darkness. Not always having fun, I guess, so much. Because, man, it seems like week by week things get more terrifying as we go. Or uglier, or evil, or, I don't know, just kind of completely messed up. Tomorrow, Hal Anthony will be live at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure and catch him live, because he does a two-hour show. The guy doesn't take a break. He doesn't have commercials. 2 hours of solid information. And the guy always passes on some great information, stuff that, I don't know if you can find it. At least he does a lot of the homework for us so that we don't have to go looking. Anyway, let's get to today's stuff, man, because there is a bunch of stuff. I said in the past couple weeks I wanted to talk about the spike protein again. And I know people are getting tired of it. This is only going to be one segment of the show today. But I think it's important because the blood clots that come with the spike protein, whether you get it from the virus or you get it from the vaccine, the spike protein causes a certain kind of damage that turns on blood clot formation, or I should say kind of turns off the slickness of blood cells, red blood cells, and, causes clotting. So, well, we've known that for a long time. But, of course, there was, this censorship of information, real information done by real scientists and real researchers and real institutions who actually care about the truth getting out. Well, the censorship of the truth has been going on for, decades for sure, but more blatantly in the last 2 years. But now the truth is coming out. You can't keep the truth locked up forever. Eventually, the truth is going to get out. And so more and more research is being done, more results are being provided, and more treatment options are being provided. But one of the things that we haven't been able to do, or nobody's really covered it, and you're not going to hear this on the mainstream media because, number one, they don't want to admit that there's a problem with the vaccine. In fact, the mainstream media is still getting their, advertisement from Pfizer and Moderna and whoever else is making these vaccines. And so, even the local news or the national news, any of the news shows that are out there, any of the shows that are out there, even some of the talk shows, are being promoted. I mean, if you just watch them, you see their commercials. It's like presented by Pfizer. So they literally can't tell you the truth without losing these huge sponsorships. And as we all know, pharmaceuticals are making a ton of money right now. And I'm not against anybody making money. I am kind of against people making money who aren't being honest and being truthful about their product. And that's the thing that I've had the hardest time understanding over these last 2 years is where did we get to the point where we no longer care about, both sides of any story, but especially some kind of a healthcare product Wouldn't you like to know, kind of, both sides of any kind of product that's being promoted or forced on a population? You should be able to make those choices yourself. So anyway, we know more and more problems are becoming evident with the research that's being done. But blood clots is one of the biggest things that's going on with the spike protein and that comes from the vaccine or the virus. Either way, whichever way you get the spike protein in your body, there's a potential for you to have problems with the spike protein. Now, you may think that, how do I know if I have a blood clot? I guess my heart will stop working. Well, like in my case, yeah, that's true. Your heart can get damaged by huge blood clots that clog major coronary arteries. But on the other hand, you can get, microscopic blood clots that can cause restriction in any organ of your body, or any tissue in your body for that matter, any tissue that actually has any kind of blood supply to it at all, which is basically every tissue in your body. There's some tissue that doesn't get blood supply, like your nail beds and the enamel on your teeth. I mean, there's some things that don't actually have a blood supply directly, connected to them. But anyway, so every other tissue in your body, you can get little micro blood clots and have problems because when you cut off the blood supply to any tissue anywhere in your body, that tissue is going to die. And when that tissue dies, that means that organ, whatever it is now not working at the efficiency it was when that little portion was alive. So I'm talking about like micro infarctions here. We all know about, cardiac infarctions. You have some blockage of your heart tissue and you get some percentage of your heart tissue that dies and then it no longer can help you contract, heartbeats and pump blood out to your system and pull blood in from, veins and stuff and recirculate it. Same thing can happen in your, liver, in your pancreas, in your gut, in your reproductive organs, in your muscle tissue, or any connective tissue in your body. So how do we tell if we have any of those, microinfarctions or if we're at risk of having blood clots form, or if we, maybe there's some preventive medicine, some steps we can take to prevent having those blood clots. And I think that's an area that's been neglected, mainly, like I said before, because, no mainstream media outlet is going to talk about this because, number one, they'd have to admit that blood clots is a problem. And they're just not willing to admit it, even though you have some of the most respected names in research institutions out there, producing this information, still nobody will talk about it because their hands are tied. And it's as you've heard me say many times on this podcast, you can be the new media. You can have a podcast. You can do live streams. You can get the information out there. I do this because I think it's fun. But in that having fun, I also want to pass on some information that maybe we can all benefit from. Hopefully I can help people live a little bit healthier lives and, not feel that they're at risk all the time. It's funny. I'm not kidding. This week, and actually, Vinny is here with me again today. And he's going to be here a couple of days, I hope. Anyway, I know he's got travel plans and stuff like that, but this was really crazy. So at my office, the dental office I work at, I park across the street from my office because it's convenient. It's right next to the river. It's usually shaded, so in the summertime it's shaded, in the wintertime, yeah, it's shaded too. But the trees don't actually hang over my vehicle. They actually line the the area next to my vehicle, and the sun is behind them, so my rig pretty much stays in the shade. But anyway, sometimes, and usually like at the time when I get off work, it's pretty busy, which is kind of funny for Sheridan. Pretty busy means I might have to wait for five or six cars to go by. But the other day, so sometimes I cross the street, I go around to the passenger door, I put my stuff in, and then I come around to the driver door and get in my truck. Well, so the other day, as I was waiting to cross the street, I see this car go by with a single person in the driver's seat, nobody else in the car, and they're wearing a mask. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what is the matter with you? Like, why are you sitting in a car by yourself wearing a mask? And I'm just going to tell you, it wasn't like there was heavy smoke in the area. It wasn't like there was heavy pollen, clogging our airways, or some kind of air stagnation advisory or air inversion or whatever the hell you want to call it. I'm sure it was just this COVID fear that these people had. So one person went by and I was like, that's insane. Why, what you're doing? They're driving by. Their windows are up. It's cold here. So it's not like I can say, hey, idiot, take your mask off. But anyway, I cross the street and, put my stuff in the driver door, and I see another car go by, another driver, the only person in the vehicle, and they're wearing a mask. And I'm thinking to myself, what, like, did I miss some news of a new, Hanta virus outbreak or Ebola outbreak or something here in Sheridan? Like, why are you people wearing a mask in a car by yourself? It makes zero sense. And it's really getting to the point where it's getting to be frustrating. Okay, so I'm going to snitch Vinny out just a tiny bit here. So we went to town this morning. We had to get some stuff. And we're both standing in line to pay for our stuff. And there's a dude checking out that has a full-on Bandito mask on. And Vinny actually started talking to him about it, was he going to rob the place or whatever. It was actually pretty damn funny. But my point is, people still, some have irrational fear of what's going on in the world. But some people have, I think, legitimate fear about what could possibly happen if they've had COVID or if they've had the vaccination. Because more and more we're talking about spike proteins causing damage. And, I've addressed in a couple of shows in the past, the things you can do to detox from the spike protein. And now I want to talk just a little bit about what we can do. Let's see, I'm going to bring this story up. It says COVID-19 vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia. And so this is the problem. Let me go back to my notes here. Oh, yeah, my notes. Here's my notes. Oh, of course, I didn't make any notes. That's hilarious. I could have sworn I had notes in here. Hang on. Everybody just hang on. Oh, here it is. Oh, yeah, I do have notes. So it says, we're going to talk a little bit about the signs that you have a spike protein blood clot and what you can do about it. So number one, the most important thing you can do, and I thought this was kind of interesting, is to, number one, prevent getting the spike protein. So how do you do that? Stay away from people who have COVID. Don't get the vaccine. And this article strongly recommends not getting any vaccinations. These people are, serious about protecting the populations of the world. And they're saying, at pretty much at any cost, avoid taking the vaccine. I think most of my listeners have probably done that, avoided getting the vaccine. I unfortunately was not smart enough to not get the vaccine. But I'm fine. I'm doing fine. I've done all the detox. I'm doing all that stuff. But anyway, it says once vaccinated, oh, something else you can do. It says move around as much as you can. If you're resting in bed, try to stretch your legs to keep the blood circulating. Don't start any blood thinning medications without consulting your doctor first. I hate to give any advice, but so let's just say this. A lot of doctors will recommend that you take an aspirin a day anyway. Just a baby aspirin, one baby aspirin a day. So I'm not saying that you should do that, but I'm saying you should probably do that. It will help prevent these micro blood clots if you do happen to have spike proteins in your body somewhere. And if you haven't detoxed and, whatever, maybe you're dealing with COVID infection right now. I mean, I think the numbers are pretty damn low. But, keep moving. Don't get the vaccination. Try and avoid getting COVID. And it says activation of the clotting cascade, which this is what happens with the spike protein, leads to both large clots causing strokes and pulmonary emboli, as well as microclots causing microinfarcts in many organs, but most notably the brain. So you can have these microinfarcts in your brain and actually have parts of your brain die, which of course we all know that's not good. It says in the legs, swelling is the most common sign of a blood clot. So if you have swelling in any of your extremities, which means your arms and legs, that you can't explain, it might be a good idea to start taking some of these actions, like, start moving to make sure your blood is moving, maybe start, call your primary care and see if they recommend this dual anticoagulant therapy I'm going to talk about in a minute, but at least take that baby aspirin a day, which they recommend you do anyway to prevent, having strokes. Hang on, got to wet the whistle. It says some patients have symptoms called COVID toes, red swollen toes that might be due to small clots in the blood vessels of the feet. So, just be aware of what's going on in your body and pay attention. If you have some kind of swelling somewhere, or if you notice something, like maybe mentally you've noticed some small change, you probably should get checked out and find a doc who isn't going to be 100% the vaccine doc. Find a doc that is willing to listen to some reasonable research and conclusions that have been done, throughout the world too. It's not just local institutions to the United States. I mean, these reports and studies are being done all over the world. And even when some studies are done and presented, they're being repeated in other communities and other populations to see if they get the same or different results. So there it says, here's a number of basic screening tests that could be considered if someone has long COVID-like symptoms. They call it long COVID-like symptoms because, of course, they don't want the establishment to think that you're just a quack going in, off the cuff saying, hey, I think this is caused by the vaccine. They actually are labeling it, long COVID symptoms. I had to make a little adjustment here. I'm sorry. I didn't turn my studio lights on like an idiot. So now I have to turn them on and adjust them a tiny bit, and we're good. All right, back to it. But anyway, there are some tests that can be done to kind of help determine if you're at risk of forming blood clots or if maybe you have a blood clot already. It says a complete blood count with differential and platelet count. So these are all things that your primary care can order. And as a matter of fact, I think there's a lab. Gosh darn it, I wish I could remember the name of the lab. There's a lab that I see, although I'm kind of a little bit weary. I should look into this a little bit. But let's just say if you have a local lab or a big national lab that's advertising in your local area, it says self-referral. So you can just like get online and make an appointment and say, hey, I'd like a complete blood count draw, you know, to see what my blood is doing, and they'll just set you up an appointment. You go in and get the draw done, and you get the results yourself. The thing I worry about is if they're that big, you know, there might be a lot of pharmaceutical money in that, you know, backing them too. And, you know, you don't want to take some test, like a COVID test, that's actually going to incubate you with COVID or, you know, give you false positives or false negatives or whatever. There's a test called the D-dimer as a marker of clotting activation. A markedly elevated D-dimer indicates the abnormal clots and the fibrosis is activated, so it can kind of tell if your blood cells are trying to make clots. There's a CRP, a simple, cheap, and sensitive marker of ongoing inflammation. You can test for fibrinogen, which is a component of blood clots, of factor VIII, which is a component in the clotting cascade, and von Willebrand factor, which is also a factor in the blood clotting cascade. It says blood clots or platelets are hyperactivated by the S1 subunit of the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2. Platelets interact with circulating inflammatory molecules, the newly damaged endothelium and immune cells. So they go on to recommend Plavix, which probably nearly every new heart patient is put on Plavix. And aspirin. After my heart attack, I was immediately put on Plavix and aspirin, and I wondered why I had to be on both. Well, there's a thing called dual anticoagulant therapy. They call it DAC, dual anticoagulant therapy, and that is you're on Plavix and you take an aspirin, and you do that once a day or whatever your doc says to prevent blood clots from forming, which is what caused my heart attack in the first place. And it's kind of why I'm passing this on, man. There's stuff that you can do to help prevent, you know, having some serious condition like a heart attack or stroke or having your liver fail or, you know, your kidneys. I mean, basically you can have these micro infarcts in any organ in your body and in any tissue in your body. So some possible outcomes are going to be much less than other possible outcomes. Like, everybody's not going to have a heart attack. But, I mean, if you have these spike proteins turning on your clotting factors, yeah, there's a good chance you're going to have a blood clot somewhere in your body, and it'd be a good idea to know how to notice it and then how to treat it. So that was a little bit I wanted to pass on as far as the spike protein goes. And I'm just going to keep up with this information. You know, if it's new information to some people, it'll be good. I mean, so those of you who've had COVID, I know a lot of people, actually, that's not true. I know a few people who've had COVID. I know a few people who've been vaxxed. And I know quite a few people who've never had COVID. So I hope I don't jinx them. I certainly won't name them by name, but there's quite a few people who haven't gotten COVID and didn't get the vaccine. So, you know, and I've known people who got COVID and really had an uneventful course. And I've known a few people that got COVID and actually had really a horrendous course, but they survived it. You know, they were young and healthy and even middle-aged or, you know, not elderly. I don't know any elderly people who've gotten it and had a mild course of action. But pretty much everybody I've known under 70 who has gotten COVID survived it. And yeah, it was terrible. I mean, the ones who didn't go to the hospital survived it. The ones who went to the hospital and followed their ridiculous protocols, you know, they didn't get to come home. They went home in a coffin, or they didn't even go home in a coffin. They didn't get to share time with their families. I just want to keep nailing this stuff, man. We have had so many civil rights violated in the past couple years, which is going to get me to the next thing I want to talk about. So let's kind of put the COVID thing just, well, for this show, hopefully on the back burner for a minute. Maybe the rest of the show, I don't know. But, you know, I was paying attention to the kind of political news cycle this last, the last week, because, you know, with the elections kind of falling behind us now, you kind of wonder, okay, what's going to happen? Like, it wasn't the big red wave, so it's not like the conservatives, you know, assumed all the power in the world and they're going to, you know, make everybody pay. But yeah, you expect some things to change, right? Well, if maybe you expected some things to change. I was interested to see, like, who was going to take the first step in, you know, whatever... You know, whose heads are going to roll, if anybody's? I actually fully expect that nobody's heads are going to roll. I actually fully expect that it's going to be politics as usual. There's going to be a lot of finger-pointing and name-calling, and in the end, not a damn thing is going to happen. And it's really getting to be worrisome, because there's some really evil bastards out there who are doing really evil things to the rest of the population of the country and the world, and nobody's being held accountable. So this is a little editorial piece I did. I said the conservatives in the House of Representatives have announced that they are going to investigate the Biden crime family for human trafficking, and I said Brandon's relationship and involvement in the Hunter dealings. Merrick Garland, on the other hand, has decided to create two special counsels to investigate Donald Trump for the documents he had in his possession and the course of his involvement in the January 6th parade. I said, how about we investigate the election of 2020? There's plenty of evidence. It's already been gathered for you, those of you who have the power to do investigations. I said, see 2,000 mules, see Mike Lindell's presentation with the forensic IT people that he had on his special shortly after the election, and others who've gathered information or actually won court battles over ballot harvesting and hacked voting machines, etc. How about we show constantly what is going on at the southern border and investigate the abuse and deaths of humans crossing our southern border and follow up on the death and destruction some of those people caused to legal citizens of the United States on their travels in our country? Or how about the FBI's embedded snitches in the January 6th parade and what they did to incite a riot or take over the government offices on January 6th? What was Ray Epps' role? Why did Nancy allow it to happen when she knew something was going to happen and refused security, like from the National Guard? She actually had them, hold back. Like, no, don't bother coming over and helping. We got this. Yeah, she got it all right. They all were kind of in on it, if you ask me. Or let's back up a little further. Like, how did Obama start the whole takedown of Trump using the intelligence agencies of the United States? I use the term loosely, to create, literally make up false stories, create false witnesses, fake dossiers, and keep the charade going for Trump's entire presidency and beyond. Or Hillary and her email server and all those emails that disappeared. Or how about who took the dirty money from the FTX debacle? Who got elected with donations that were pilfered from people thinking they were actually making an investment? We need names, not entities. I don't want to hear that the DNC, you know, that somebody at the DNC took the money. And trust me, it wasn't only the Democrats. Hang on, getting dry again. It wasn't only the Democrats that took money from this ridiculous Ponzi scheme. And I've learned a lot more since I wrote this editorial, but I didn't have time to rewrite it. Who got elected with donations that were pilfered from people thinking they were actually making an investment? I said, we need names, not entities, not the DNC, but the names of people who were involved from the beginning to the end Which hasn't actually happened yet. The end hasn't actually happened yet. Okay, so now we know Senator Debbie Stabenow, Democrat from Michigan, Senator John Boozman, Republican from Arkansas, Senator John Hoeven, Republican from Montana, are just a few of the people who took money from this Ponzi scheme, from honest people who were just trying to put something together for their future retirement, and now that all those funds were lost because it was all complete bullshit. It was complete and utter lie from the beginning. And probably everybody who had anything to do with this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried or whatever it is, Bankman-Fried, they should have known. The guy didn't have a track record of, like, you know, suddenly, I mean, he did have a record of suddenly becoming a billionaire, but nobody could tell where his money came from. That should have been a clue. There's a lot of clues that should have tipped people off that this was not an actual, you know, functioning business. But why are we not going to investigate those things? The Department of Justice, we know why they're not going to do it. By the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene, thank you so much. I was so literally pissed off like two nights ago. Yeah, I think Thursday night. I really was going to come on and do another live show just a bit. And, cause I was just beyond freaking, I was mad. I was like off my rocker mad. And then I read something so sweet. It was on Twitter from Marjorie Taylor Greene. And it basically said, hate to tell you this, but we're not gonna fund your investigations there, DOJ. Yeah, special counsels need financing from the House, and we're not gonna finance. So DOJ, get ready, because it's going to be hard to conduct your stupid charades any longer without getting the money just, you know, handed to you by your, by your party rule, which has been happening for the past several years, or couple years at the very least. So get ready, because those funds are going to be tight. It's going to be hard to conduct your little investigations without money, I'm thinking. Like, I'm pretty sure it won't even be allowed because, everything has to be approved one way or the other, and that's not going to happen. At least that's what it sounds like now. Now, I was, you know, actually thinking the other day, I was talking, I forget, to somebody about, you know, how many, you know, if the balance of power, you know, I was kind of hoping, you know, like, my goal is that the government never does anything. It seems like the best we can do is just do nothing. And I do mean absolutely nothing. I would be so happy if we went four full years of somebody's presidency and not one single thing got done. And I am not kidding about that. I've done shows in the past where I talked about how many tens of thousands of new rules and regulations are brought on by, you know, by every Congress that meets, you know, they feel like obligated to create more regulations. They're like, hey, we're elected to office. We got to think of something to regulate. So, you know, by the end of a year, you have 20, 30, 40,000, 80,000 new regulations. Who needs 80,000 new regulations to do anything, honest to God? And I always go back to the freaking TV that fell off the shelf and killed that little kid. And I'm like, yeah, that's horrible that a television fell off a shelf in a retail establishment and killed a kid. Do we really need to convene Congress to make rules that you ought to secure the damn TVs so they don't fall on kids? I mean, honest to God, do we, you know, can you not use some common sense a little bit and just like get through life on some common sense? The sad thing is, I just don't think that that's true anymore. We're not teaching people to think critically. We're not teaching people to solve problems. I mean, look at the majority of young people I'm surrounded by, which I guess is the only examples I can take. And that they don't have the tools to question what's in their environment and figure out how to change it to work for them. That's what I consider problem solving. So, you know, if there's a TV that's kind of rickety on a shelf, you know, well, how do we secure that TV? Yeah, use your head, or don't play under a TV that's kind of not very stable on a shelf. God, there's so many things I could say. But yeah, my goal would be that any government that's in charge at any time just doesn't get a damn thing done. So if it's an even split, or maybe, you know, split enough that one vote by the vice president isn't going to change a damn thing, yeah, that would be perfectly fine with me. But I think what happens is there's always some, you know, there's always either some Democrats that'll cross the aisle because they want some favor done, which by favor done, it always means the only favors that can be done at the congressional level is money changing hands. That's the only favor that can be done. You can talk about all kinds of things like, hey, well, we really need a bridge built, you know, between these two cities in our state because, you know, the one that we have is rickety and we haven't, you know, spent the money that we said we were going to from the taxpayers to keep it maintained properly, and it's getting ready to fall down and it's a danger. So we really need some money for this bridge. Well, no, they say we really need this bridge. But what they really mean is we really need some money for this bridge, and you guys happen to be in charge. So I'm going to come across the aisle and support whatever it is you're asking for, but you're going to send me, you know, $4 billion to replace this 8-lane interstate bridge in my state. And that's the favors that I'm talking about. So yeah, there's always somebody who wants more money for whatever it is, you know, they've put their life on the line, they put their political life on the line by promising that they're going to get... Well, like, for example, right now in Oregon, we have a governor who said, you know, we're gonna take care of this homeless problem, which means we're going to create more little tent cities for homeless people. It doesn't mean we're going to actually get those people off the street and get them jobs, get them something to do, so, you know, pick them up or give them a chance to lift themselves up and become something, do something, have enough pay to pay for a place to rent and to buy food. No, we're going to create a place for them to continue camping out and pooping and peeing in the street. Well, maybe we'll give them an outhouse and a little, you know, sitz bath so they can be clean once in a while. But no, we're just going to keep giving them more and more benefits. So she's already put, you know, her and, you know, senators and representatives that were elected in this state who also promote the same thing. You know, we got to take care of the homeless issue, but it isn't like, you know, we got to get rid of the homeless people. You know, we got to do something to encourage people not to be homeless. It's like, how do we make these people more comfortable? So then when it comes time to making some deals down the way with either the Republicans or the Democrats, they want to do one thing or another, and you need a certain amount of money because you promised you were going to get these tent cities built in the three, you know, cities in Oregon that, you know, love having a lot of homeless people around so they can point to them as their latest charity case. Well, you're going to sell your soul to make sure that you deliver on the one thing you campaigned on. You know, or making sure that, you know, we're going to have women come in from every other state and we're going to put them up in the housing so that they can get an abortion, and we're going to feed them and clothe them and, you know, give them public services because they can't get an abortion in their own state. You know, you make that kind of promise nationwide, and people are going to stand up and take notice. And so, yeah, you're going to sell your soul down the line because you can't look like you can't provide that when that's what you ran on. You know, that's what you're counting on as your measure of success for your first term as a governor, first term as a senator, first term as a representative. Yeah, you're going to sell your soul. So my point was, there's always there's always enough that are willing to cross the line to screw up everything. Like when I say I don't want the government to get anything done in 4 years, there's always some jackass or two or five or six or however many they need that they go and offer them, you know, everything they can offer them, you know, behind the scenes to get them to cross the aisle and support whatever ridiculous thing it is that they're asking for today. And because they're in the majority, you know, they hold the purse strings and they'll get some people to cross the line and make it look like they didn't. You know, they'll somehow justify that, well, you know, I had to do this for whatever reason, some lame, lying reason. Anyway. Oh, yeah, so let the investigations begin, I guess, right? I wish that they would take their jobs more seriously. You know, why is it that we had to wait until the other party took some control before we could start actually addressing people who are breaking the law? I mean, they're breaking the law, for God's sake. And the Democrats wouldn't call anybody out because, well, they're Democrats. No, we're not going to start investigations on that. We already said, you know, we don't think that that's important. So, yeah, we're not going to look into that. You know, we're not going to look into, you know, child sex trafficking on the border. We don't see any of that happening. The border's perfectly secure. You know, and all those people who are, you know, hired mules to bring kids across the border. Oh, yeah, they're all perfectly fine, upstanding human beings. That's why they're involved in illegal activities, of course. Man, there's all kinds of stuff. And I guess here's my point. There's a ton of illegal stuff going on, and not just by one side or the other, not one political party or the other. They're both doing it. Look at this FTX scandal. There's names on both sides, man, that just couldn't wait to get that money in their pocket. And do you think there's anybody in there, honest to God, I want to ask this question right now. Do you think there's any one of those people when somebody said, hey, we're going to make this donation to your campaign, you think there's one single one of those people that didn't know where that money was coming from? That didn't know? I mean, these people all have people. They all have little interns and stuff that does, you know, research for them, that gives them all kinds of information about what the other side is doing and how you have to say one thing or another so you don't show all your cards, you know. They're really good at manipulating pros, you know, to use words the proper way. And you think none of those people had any idea that this Ponzi scheme, that this fake investment company was just going to pump that money out to Ukraine and bring it back through a crypto exchange and put it in their pockets? And you think one single one of those people just thought that was perfectly fine? I mean, except for Maxine Waters, who's so freaking stupid that I don't think she understands one single thing that's going on, honestly. Man, if you listen to some of the things she said in the past, you know that's true. But I'm telling you, I will not accept from one single person that they didn't know where that campaign money was coming from. Oh, well, I just thought he was a rich kid going to give us some money. Really? Like, why? What did you do for him? Or what did he want from you? I know what he wanted, but could you really deliver that? The thing that he wanted? He wanted, you know, access to the securities and exchange rules that they were trying to put in place for cryptocurrency. He wanted more regulation, but he wanted to be part of it. Well, were you really going to be the one to deliver on that? So you're worth, I don't know, however many millions of dollars he put in your campaign, donated to your campaign. Really? You think you had that much power when you had absolutely maybe nothing to do with it? And maybe if you had something to do with it, you were kind of an outlier, like you could support it, but you weren't going to make it happen. You really think somebody's going to dump that much money into you for that? And you think that money was clean? Seriously. I just don't believe any of these people, honestly. I don't believe that they were unaware that this was dirty money, that it was people who work hard for a living just trying to make a little investment so that they could make their lives better. I mean, basically, that's what we all want. You know, those of us who are working stiffs, we want to make our lives better now and in the future. And that means investing. You got to have some future, something at the end of this work thing, we got to invest. And people are looking to invest. And when you take advantage of people by having these, you know, high-priced professionals come out on their little, you know, I think it was last year's Super Bowl, as a matter of fact. I was thinking about this the other day. I think it was last year's Super Bowl that was all about the crypto, right? I'm pretty sure I should have looked this up before I started the show. And I don't know why it didn't. It slipped my mind. But I'm pretty sure, because I'm a pretty big Super Bowl nut. Last year, the biggest promoter, I can't really say that because I don't know what the dollar amount was, but I'm pretty sure the whole Super Bowl was based on crypto, right? And so you had people like Tom Brady and I don't know the other athletes who came out and did their commercials, and they made it sound like, you know, I mean, Tom Brady, for God's sakes, one of the richest athletes out there. And he made it sound like even he knows how to, you know, invest in crypto. And it was this exchange. It was this FTX exchange. So think about this. All us beer drinking, you know, NFL team supporting rednecks that just love to sit back on Sunday and catch our favorite team playing the game, and maybe some other teams we don't even care of. We're just straight up fans. And we see all these athletes coming out and telling us, you know, hey, if you really want to have a secure retirement, a secure future, you got to invest some money in crypto. And it's so easy, even I could do it. And then you go, oh, yeah, I probably ought to do it because, you know, well, you're no smarter than the next guy, but you don't want the next guy to get one up on you. So you put, you know, maybe $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, however much money into a crypto account. And it was a straight-up lie. They were just piping that money into another business. They were loaning it out all over the place. They were donating it. They weren't investing it in any manner whatsoever to actually improve the value of it. They were just taking your money and sending it to somebody else that they thought needed it more than you. Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure it was last year's Super Bowl. I'm going to look it up before the next show, and I'll give you a report back on that, because I'm fairly certain. I even think, God, I don't want to go too far. I was going to say I think the stadium even had some kind of crypto name, or the Super Bowl, you know, sponsor of the Super Bowl was some kind of crypto thing. It had to have been FTX, don't you think? I'm going to check, and I'll get back to you. Let's see. So, yeah, February 2022. Yeah, that Super Bowl. I don't know if it was. I don't know. Most crypto ads ever. Thank you for that in the chat. I appreciate that. Yeah, so there you go. The most crypto ads in a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. Now, I don't know if the Super Bowl is the most watched event. It probably isn't, but it's got to be up there. And so millions of people all over the world are watching the NFL Super Bowl and being told that, you know, you got to invest your money in this brand new, you know, crypto exchange, and, you know, it's doing so good, and this young guy has made billions of dollars, you know, youngest billionaire ever, who knows what all the, you know, hype was. But yeah, I'll make sure, I'm going to check into that, because I'm actually going to go and watch some of the footage from that Super Bowl, because I want to make some notes about it and come back with it. But the bottom line is, yeah, everybody who invested got screwed. Every single person who invested got screwed. I wanted to get to a couple more things, and we're down to about 10 minutes, roughly. So I wanted to talk about these two things because they got away from... Oh, first of all, this is one thing I definitely want to cover. This really... This is another one of those things that I was just like, you got to be kidding me, man. But if you ever... Okay, so this says Meta employees were reportedly fired for selling account information to hackers. Now listen to this, because this gets really bizarre. But I've always said, man, you know, so the problem with kind of putting your information into any one of these things, social media things, is somebody has access to that information. Like, somebody can get access to that information, right? I get probably two, I think I get two phishing emails a week, which is really kind of funny, because I have pretty damn good security. But still, I mean, I still get these blatant, I almost fell for one a couple weeks ago. I think I covered it on my show. Oh yeah, I did. So here, Facebook, I'm going to call them Facebook because that's who it is. It says Meta, but Meta is just a way of hiding who they really are. They are Facebook. They were Facebook for 20 years. They're, you know, now hiding behind this name Meta, and now they got big problems because that, I'm not going to kind of go in. I probably will, but let me just tell you roughly what this. I got to get to this article. It's pretty damn funny. No, okay, so there's a commercial on TV that reminded me of exactly this, what happened at Meta. So there's these people called, like, custodians, right? Which I don't know if that means janitors, like, who come in and they're pushing their cart around with a mop and a broom and some towels and, you know, just spray and wipe furniture and all that stuff. But they're custodians. They're not like the normal people who handle calls for Facebook. But let's say you lose your password and you can't get in, or you haven't been into Facebook for a long time and you forgot, like, what the hell is the username I used on that account I created? Like, especially if you created multiple accounts, you know, you may have forgotten. Like, oh yeah, I created that account at the time because I was into, you know, collecting mushrooms, and I had some cute name for it, but I forgot what it was, and I can't get in there, but I really want to get back into that account. So you call up, you know, Meta or Facebook, and so some joker answers the phone. He's like, okay, this is a little satirical, okay, but not really. So there's this guy pushing his cart around. Most of the lights are off. He's getting ready to close up, and he's done all his cleaning and, you know, cleaned out the refrigerators, restocked the vending machines, and he's rolling down the hallway, and the phone's ringing in this one cubicle, and he picks up the phone, and he says, yes, how can I, Meta, how can I help you? I mean, Facebook, how can I help you? And the person says, hey, I lost my access to my account, and the dude's like, oh, no problem. You know, I'm right here to be able to help you. I can get into your account right here. And he looks it up, he helps the person, you know, signs in, the custodian takes down all the information because he just helped the person re-sign into their account. And then he has a buddy, or actually a fleet of buddies, that he can call at the drop of a hat and sell that information to. He knows that they're hackers, they're willing to pay for the information so that they can, you know, basically, you know, steal your money, force certain ads on you, but basically hack into your account and do whatever that they want with it. Yeah, that's Facebook. And here's the kind of going back to this whole political thing that we've been seeing for 2 years, where somebody else is deciding what information is and what truth is, and somebody else is doing all the censoring of, you know, information throughout, you know, the biosphere. whatever it is, the internet. They have a political agenda, right? And so you think you're going to get some kind of help from, let's just say, from Twitter, if you, you know, more than 6 months ago, let's say, you called up Twitter and, you know, they look at your account to help you out and they see that, you know, you're a gun-toting conservative Christian. And they're like, oh, we're going to sell this guy's information. Yeah, how can I help you? And they, you know, they help you, but really there's a person behind that help, and that person may not have your best interest at heart, right? Because they may wish you the worst of luck in the world, and they can make that happen by simply physically selling your information that you freely shared with them because they're online with you at that moment. You know, they're trying to help you get back into your account, and as soon as they're done helping you, you know, off they go to the nearest, you know, hacker squad that's just looking to pay money for all that information so that they can do whatever they want with it. So that was Meta. How about that? Oh, I'm going to get to this one more story too. We got a few minutes here. We got 3 minutes. Who can't do something like this in 3 minutes? This was a story that really bugged me. So the FBI asked the court for 66 years to release information from Seth Rich's computer. Do you guys all remember who Seth Rich is? It's been a while, right? So I said, definitely something to hide here. I mean, the very definition of not producing evidence. The FBI is asking a U.S. court to reverse its order that it produce information from Seth Rich's laptop computer. If the court does not, the Bureau wants 66 years to produce the information. Seriously, I went over this before about how stupid this is when Pfizer asked for 75 years to produce the information that they used to make the vaccine. I'm like, we live in the age of technology. You can spit this crap out in seconds. Literally seconds with the speed of computers today. You can retract all the crap you want. You can put in, you know, blocks and black out whatever words you want and literally spit out 10,000, 19,000 pages of documents in seconds. So don't act like the retards coming up like, hey, we need 66 years to produce this info. No, you don't. You're the FBI for crying out loud. You're the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You're supposed to be an intelligence agency, number one. You're supposed to be, you know, have technology that'll stop hackers from screwing up your stuff, number two, which means you're supposed to be on the leading edge of technology, and you can't produce a document in less than 66 years? You gotta be kidding me. So if you remember, Seth Rich was a Democrat National Committee staffer when he was killed on a street in Washington in mid-2016. No person has ever been arrested in connection with his murder. But they have his laptop, I bet they have his phone, I bet they have all of those records, and they've done the investigation, and the Bureau says it shouldn't have to, how much time I got here? Plenty of time. The Bureau says it shouldn't have to produce the information because of FOIA, Freedom of Information Act exemptions for information that are compiled for law enforcement purposes and could reasonably be expected to disclose the identity of a confidential source, the lawyer said in a motion for reconsideration. Another exemption which enables agencies to withhold information that would disclose law enforcement techniques also applies, they said. Thanks. All right. Hey, I'll see you guys on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.